So we were going to play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
Mm-hmm.
The second one.
Yeah, yeah, because that's a... No,
that's not the one I love.
That's not the one that you
wanted to play. My dearly beloved is Tony Hawk's 3.
Yeah, you love that game.
I love that game a lot.
You're so about that game. You talk about it every day.
Yeah, every single day. And in playing 2 for a bit, I realized what happens to my brain with like PlayStation 1 graphics. Mm-hmm. And then we played Twisted Metal 2.
They're so bad.
And my brain did the same thing. So
PlayStation's so dumb.
I think
Sony.
I have this weird hurdle I have to overcome with the fast-paced PlayStation graphics games.
Yeah. So, can we just say they look dumb. They look dumb.
They're dumb and bad, and it's a bad system. That's all I'm trying to get across.
If you
want to
like it, just travel back in time to the 90s, where I, for the record, I would like to do that, and just play PlayStation games when you were Bebu. When you a Beebus.
When you're a Beebum.
Yeah. And so today we're talking about Twisted Metal 2, which you would have to be a straight Beavis to like, you dummy.
You butthead.
Let's go.
Howdy, hello, and welcome to the Old Gamers Almanac. This is the list where we do all the listing of every game ever made and of all time, and it is complete and final. And there we will take nothing as criticism for this list. I'm your first host, Matt Martins. Hello.
I'm just your little baby, I'm just your little baby, whatever, Hunter Donaldson.
You're our
Beavis. I'm here. I am the Beavis today, and what a Beavis I am. Today we're talking about Twisted Metal 2. Why not Twisted Metal 1? Shut up. All right? I'll tell you why right now, because we're not coming back to this series, okay? We're not going to be covering all the Twisted Metal games. We're just going to cover the ones I remember, okay? And I don't even... Twisted Metal 3 and 4... Was there a difference between those two games? Were those two separate releases? I don't know.
There's no way of telling. Yeah.
There is no way of telling. All right.
Can you, as a person who never played a single Twisted Metal game, can you explain to me which ones are the good ones? Or is it just kind of like whichever ones you played are the good ones? Is it one of those series?
No, I think that Twisted Metal 2 and Twisted Metal Black are the good ones, if
two
that's what you're asking. I think that a lot of people would probably play these games. I mean, a lot of uncool people would probably play these games and be like, oh, these just suck. You know, like they would just be like, oh, these are just not good. And that's because they're foolish. But
to be fair, I've never heard anybody downplay a Twisted Metal game. All I've ever heard from folks is like...
Oh yeah,
this weird raucous.
It's esteemed,
not
legacy.
Esteemed, but like just like as like a hangout party dude. Like this is the cool guys game of just like, hey, we're not here to.
No, it's come on.
I don't know. I'm not a PlayStation
kid. Who is
kid.
Looking at? Yeah, because you've never played it.
Yeah,
you just didn't know about it.
But I've only heard people talk of it as like, oh, I love that game.
Who do you talk to besides
you and EJ?
Me, Matt? Yeah. Like
you
I'm
and EJ.
About to be like, who are these people? You're always talking about these people that you're talking to. But all I ever see
in my research, when I was doing my research,
you go to some weird forum on the like a GeoCities.
Yeah, well, I went to GeoCities/twistedmetal.com, and they all seem to like it.
And they all seem to like it. Yeah, yeah. I did get a virus. I downloaded a virus on my computer.
There's a clown that just laughs on my face.
Yeah,
all the time. Yeah, it changed my background.
That's Sweet Tooth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm educating you on the intellectual property. That guy's name is Sweet Tooth. No, Twisted Metal, I mean, I guess is cool if you like Beavis and Butthead. That's like kind of all I would say about it. It's a very Beavis and Butthead humor. It's very dark.
Yeah.
And in a silly, bad 90s way, I would say it's dark. It's fun. I feel like it is the kind of game that's kind of a time capsule of this specific era. There's a reason that when they tried to resurrect Twisted Metal, it didn't work, because maybe some things belong in the era they were made and do not get to survive.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think it's fair for Twisted Metal to stay in the past.
Somehow we've decided that about everything David Jaffe ever made. Mm-hmm. It's like, that stays back when you made it.
Yeah.
And we either only don't make it, or we make things that are a comment on,
yeah,
that, on it. We will remake God of War, but we will not make God of War again.
You're making this point very strange, but I see what you're saying, yeah, which is that David Jaffe makes something, and then later, adults have to explain it. That's what you're saying.
Yes, yeah.
It's a weird, that's some weird energy to project at that. Hey, I liked God of War too.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine. I think a lot of people like the God of War, yeah, games. Again, I just didn't play them, and I think I would, I had like a weird aversion to QuickTime events, which doesn't make any sense because I like Kingdom Hearts too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm already a hypocrite.
Well, I'll say this. So, you know, this guy made, the guy that directed this game, Twisted Metal 2, also directed the original God of War games, and then later, people got older, mm-hmm, and then were like, let's explain this character in a, yeah, deeper way. I don't know if you've noticed, but we are not talking about doing that with Twisted Metal.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? There is
there's no character
adult
to explore.
Grown-up version of Twisted Metal.
Of Axel. We're not well, further. Axel's the one you could, it seems like, as far as I can tell.
Oh, sure. Yeah, Axel's. Yeah, yeah. We'll talk about the characters in a little bit. I will say this. Twisted Metal Black, which comes on the PS2,
uh-huh,
later, does a neat, this is a neat trick it does. It looks at the old games and says, you know what the problem was? Too much comedy. It needs to be more horror, baby.
So black is just to say it is darker.
Yeah, but I don't know. That I remember those cutscenes in Twisted Metal Black being straight freaky.
Really?
Like, and being like really scared. Now, I bet I would find them laughable,
uh-huh,
as an adult now, but when I played the, and I think that was part of the appeal of this game and this series too, mm-hmm, was that it was kind of scary.
Yeah.
But maybe only if you were a doofus. But and I was a doofus, and so it felt like when I was playing it, I felt a little naughty.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, that's definitely the vibe. It's wanting to go. It wants kids to feel. That's very South Park in that regard. It's very Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
It wants the kids to feel naughty for having played it.
Yeah. 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 It's like Mario Kart, but they're all serial killers.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's Diddy Kong Racing. That's the,
yeah,
closest allegory I have in my Nintendo brain. Is like there's multiplayer combat and all that in.
Is there?
There is.
In,
yeah, yeah.
You in Diddy Kong?
I didn't
know that.
There's like 3D environment, not just racing tracks, but like 3D environment battle arenas.
I know there is in Mario Kart, but yeah, I don't,
yeah,
I don't
but
know.
In Mario Kart, it's like you don't accomplish nearly as much. But in Diddy, mm-hmm, Kong Racing, it's like you pick three very different types of vehicles. We're not talking about Diddy Kong Racing today. All I'm saying is, me, the little Nintendo baby, I had my sweet widow Diddy Kong Racing, and Twisted Metal was this scary big boy PlayStation thing.
Yeah, and it was for. It was for weird people that like heavy metal and think that Beavis and Butthead is funny. And you know what? Actually, I mean, Beavis and Butthead is funny. Okay.
Right.
Actually. I'll sort of defend this game, but also sort of, I mean, it's stupid.
Yeah.
It's definitely a very stupid game. But it's, I don't know.
You have to allow for stupidity.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm on the show. I'm the stupid one. Okay. Unless Matt is into it, and then, but
it's usually
then
pretty stupid.
Suddenly, Matt will be stupid too. Like the amount. Okay, side note: the amount of energy that you are putting into Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories, mm-hmm, is frankly,
yeah,
disqualifying as a human being.
I was watching. I just was watching Chain of Memories cinematics yesterday.
Yeah,
yeah, I did that while I was folding laundry. I just watched about an hour of the Chain of Memories cinematics.
So yeah.
We're going hard.
How much this show is about indulging you.
This is your game today.
Today we're talking about my game, and we're going to be adults about it. You know what I mean? But you're just over there in the candy store, just like eating the candy right out of the bin.
You
know what I mean?
Social
is a bucket
terror
of candy, and you are just like shoving it in your gob. And loving every minute of it.
Tell me about.
And I'm over here playing this game, being like, "Oh yeah, this is pretty messed up. Probably this was probably not good."
I have in no way claimed Chain of Memories as a good video game.
But you like Chain of Memories as much today as you did before, and that is
that's
what
not
blows
true.
Me mind. Yeah, actually, you're right. You like it more now.
No, I don't. I'm just. I haven't even said a word one about my enjoyment, whether it's present or not, of Chain of Memories. All I've done is watch the cinematics.
Matt, I just blew up your spot. Okay. Yeah. You're okay, so speaking of cinematics.
I'm watching the cinematics because I don't want to play the video game.
Right, that's
the truth.
That's fair. And we have established that the appeal of Kingdom Hearts is when people say weird stuff.
Yeah. I'm watching the good part.
That is what it is. You're watching the good part. But anyways, we played this game. I have a deep history with the series. Uh-huh. Played every game in the series except for Twisted Metal head on. So that means I played Twisted Metal 1 on PlayStation. I played Twisted Metal 2 on PlayStation. Twisted Metal 3 also on PlayStation. Twisted Metal 4 also on PlayStation.
Wow.
Twisted Metal 3 starts, the first level of Twisted Metal 3 has Dragula as the song in it. They put Dragula in this game, okay? This was a big series. Actually, it may have been 4. Who cares, all right? There's no difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also played Twisted Metal Black. And then I think Twisted Metal Black was maybe too scary, and then I quit. So hundreds of hours logged.
Yeah.
Veritable Twisted Metal expert. I've also played Vigilante 8.
Did you play the reboot? Did you play the Twisted Metal?
I remember
you being excited for the Twisted Metal reboot.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was kind of... And then it,
and then it wasn't good.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, whatever. It was what it was. Yeah. I don't really know why I was excited for it, because as the more and more I read about the Twisted Metal reboot that they did in 2013 on PlayStation 3, the more it just boggled my mind and didn't really make any sense to me.
Right.
Because it just felt like they were trying to take that series in a direction that it had no... It's a fun hangout.
It's a romp.
Sort of a party game, I guess. But it's never really... it's never really been executed well enough to be a party game, you know? Like, on the PlayStation, you gotta get the frickin' actually, I don't even think you can play with more than two players on PlayStation.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, it's basically a co-op only. It says it also features multiplayer over modem line or internet.
What?
Isn't that cool? Isn't that weird? Who knew?
Well, there were...
This is the era of consoles having internet capabilities you didn't know they had because you didn't have the components to do it.
No, PlayStation doesn't have internet capabilities.
Maybe I'm wrong, because there's also PC releases. Maybe it's explicitly a PC thing, but I could have sworn the PlayStation 1 had internet attachment.
That's mind-blowing.
I'm going to get called out probably for being wrong. We'll see. Who knows?
Okay. I remember it was really exciting when they announced that the PlayStation 2 was getting that internet add-on.
Right.
That was pretty cool. And I remember being like, oh, this is going to be really fun. And then, it actually really wasn't very fun. But, in fact, I played a version of EverQuest that was on the PS2 called EverQuest Online Adventures.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we've gotten way off track here.
That's fine.
What is Twisted Metal? I feel like you get it at this point. It's serial killer Mario Kart.
I'm just seeing this quote here from David Jaffe talking about Twisted Metal 3 and Twisted Metal 4, which he did not work on.
Yeah, he didn't work on those.
Yeah. The games in and of themselves, they're good games. They're just not good Twisted Metal games.
Really? So he singled out Twisted Metal 3 and 4 as not being good Twisted Metal.
Y'all don't know how to make my weird insane clown posse game. You don't know how
it
works.
Listen, there's very little difference between any of the games. I'll say this. Here's why people like Twisted Metal 2, if you're ever wondering. Because I feel like from the outside, it can kind of seem like, oh, so Twisted Metal 2 is the good one, I feel like, is something that people put out there.
Uh-huh.
And it really just comes down to one thing. There is a Paris level, a level where you play in Paris, and you can blow the Eiffel Tower up. And then when you blow it up, it falls on its side. Actually, I shouldn't say it falls on its side, because you don't see it fall.
Sure.
It
renders
now,
a new object, and that one is fallen over Eiffel
on
Tower.
On its side. And then you can drive... from that, you can then drive onto rooftops, which is fun.
Well, that seems to be, I don't know, I have no idea how much this attracts to other ones, but I don't care, because all I've played is 2. That is a cool element that happens in quite a few of the levels, is like things that can change.
Yeah,
in
destructible
them.
Environments.
Destructible environment
change,
or modifiable environment or whatever.
Things
happen in these levels that you play.
Yeah, I like the levels, okay? Yeah. I think the levels are the best part. Now, not all the levels are equal. Some of the levels are just a dump and there's just nothing going on. There's no ideas or anything. There was, we were playing the campaign mode, I guess, or whatever you would call it, together, and there is this second level that's set in Moscow, which you'd have to tell me it was, because the level has no identity whatsoever. It's just like a donut.
It looks like Red Rocks.
it's just like a donut, and I found out that you can blow some of it up.
Oh, really?
It up. we were playing it, and it's a donut with these ramps that go into the center. So you can drive through the center of the donut and ramp over to the other side. And so it's like, how would there be a destructible environment aspect of this? What can you do? Well, I found out what you can do is you can just blow the ramps up. So now there's nothing.
Now the level is less interesting.
Now the level's basically absolutely nothing at all. And so I don't know why you would want to blow up the ramps, but that's the option they gave you.
Sure.
And So mechanically, what do you do in this game? You drive around in a dumb car.
Yeah.
If you're playing a Sweet Tooth, who is a serial killer clown, you drive around an ice cream truck.
Mm-hmm.
And you shoot missiles and stuff at each other.
Yeah, every character has
a special
ability that, mm-hmm. that is with their car. When we played, you played a bunch as Axel, which is a dude that is the axle of the two wheels he stands between.
He's strapped.
His arms are like chopped off, and he's fused himself in between two giant wheels.
Yeah, yeah.
And he drives around like that.
See, it's funny.
It is funny.
You can see how it's funny.
Yeah.
There's some other guys, I don't know.
There's
some
of them just in their drive cars. Or whatever.
Yeah, some of them are just generic cars. I don't know. With like no, it's just like, yep. There's like a big truck, monster truck. Mm-hmm. Those guys are pretty funny.
There's a fork, or what do you call it? A scoop. There's an excavator.
Yeah.
A guy in an excavator.
Yeah, yeah. Or like a bulldozer.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no dump truck. It feels like there should be a dump truck.
A dump
I just want to say there's not
game.
A dump truck.
Yeah.
There is a Formula One F1 racing car. There's a little green like dune buggy thing. That one's pretty good. There's a hearse. That one's pretty cool.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
There's a guy on a motorcycle who is the Grim Reaper, and his name is Mr. Grim. I think that's pretty funny.
What is the what? So why are these characters congregating together?
You're asking me the plot.
Yeah,
of the Twisted Metal
tell me about Twisted Metal.
So there's this guy. His name is Calypso, and he is some sort of business guy. I don't know. And he hosts this tournament. I think we're in the future. It doesn't really matter. But he hosts this tournament called the Twisted Metal Tournament, where all these people in cars have to kill each other, and then whoever wins gets a wish, like genie style. He grants your wish. Except for, especially in Twisted Metal 2, I don't know if this carries all the way through the series. It's hard to remember because they're just dumb. But it's always a monkey paw situation, right? Like you ask
Calypso's
for something.
Calypso's kind of the devil.
Yeah, Calypso's just kind of the devil, and you don't always get exactly what you want from him.
Yeah.
One ending that I'll spoil, if you play as Hammerhead, which is the monster truck, which is piloted by these two boys that remind me of Beavis and Butthead. what they want is they want to be able to fly. Like superpower wise, and there's this scene. If you win the game as them, and they show up, and Calypso's like, "What is your wish?" And they're like, "Oh, we want to fly." And he's like, "Oh, great!" And then they just jump off a building to their doom.
Uh-huh.
And then Calypso's like holding like plane tickets.
Man. He got that's some dark. That's some
see
dark
now
gritty.
That right
that's
there.
Some, that's some humor.
Sit down, sit down, listener. That right there is capital H humor, okay? With an extra U. You know what I'm saying? H-U-M-O-U-R.
That's some dark comedy, my friend,
dark
if ever there were some.
It would be super dark if you, like, for example, maybe cared about any of the characters. but you don't, so it doesn't matter. It's just like Looney Tunes dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and each character kind of has their own desire or whatever. It kind of plays out a little bit different at the end of the game. There is an opening cinematic, but you have to go in the options to play it.
To watch it.
So that's why we did not see that, Matt. So that's why when we started the game, it just kind of unceremoniously just dumps the goodies in front of you. Just
it does
like,
a lot of
unceremoniously.
Every time you beat a mission, it just, no splash screen, no art, just red text pops up that just says, congratulations.
Yeah.
You're going to the next level now.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all that happens.
Yeah, this game is an idea and a collection of levels, and there you go. There's not a whole lot of meat on the bones.
Yeah.
It's more just excited that it's, you know, popularizing a genre.
Sure.
It's a subgenre, vehicular car combat, that, to be honest, has never really, I feel like, had its good game.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're vehicular car combat is just an idea floating out there in the ether, but there really hasn't been a game that's actually capitalized on the potential of it. I mean, even playing Twisted Metal 2, I was kind of blown away by how much, to me, it just kind of feels like you're playing a first-person shooter, but for some reason, you control weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's just like,
that's my vibe with it, is like, it wants me to do first-person shooter things, but I can only, like, go forward at certain speeds, and when I want to turn, it's on kind of an awkward pivot, and you can learn it. I was like really frustrated with the game, like the first run we were playing it. But as we sort of, like, you fail runs, you just start over. It's it's that kind of game. But as we were going more and more into it, like, I was getting better, and it's like, okay, I can.
Yeah,
this is a perfectly achievable level of jank to, like, learn. It's not that weird.
It's mechanically executed in such a way to where you do kind of figure out how to play it, even if at first it might feel like it's just kind of a mess.
Right. And there is differences between the characters. I mean, like, some characters, it's like you and I were both kind of playing, once we had, like, a solid run going, we were both playing as characters where it's like, I gotta get up on you, and then I have, like, a very small area of effect ability to hit you with. Whereas there was others where it's like, well, I have like a heat-seeking missile. Like, my goal is to stay back, just sort of follow behind you or whatever. Yeah. Like, there are different styles that you could eventually adopt as you learn all of these characters. And in that way, I see why I was like, how is this game, like, replayable? It's just, like, kind of the same seven maps over and over again. Mm-hmm. But I definitely... It's the characters. It's the idea of, well, now I got to do a run as this one and accomplish their whole set.
Right. And then there's two hidden characters that I was reading, in doing my research for it. I thought I remembered incorrectly a couple things about this game. One thing was that I thought that it utilized the memory card in any way. Mm. It doesn't, actually. It's all passwords, like old school, like a Mega Man game or something. And then the other thing is that I thought you unlock the hidden characters. You don't. You just type in cheat codes.
It's literally cheat codes.
It's just you got to know the password to unlock Sweet Tooth or whatever. Funny. Now, maybe there's a way to find out in the game, but I don't really know how people found out.
Right.
Well,
how does anybody find out cheat codes? A book told them somewhere.
A book
was released that revealed all the cheat codes. Also, on the level of cheat codes... Within the game itself, there's this weird thing that is harder to exist these days because this is an example where you got to have the manual for this video game, find the manual online.
Which is, I mean, that was an expectation.
It's not weird at all, but it is a thing that is harder to go back to these games, which is there's, like, other moves that everyone can do, these little combo, like, you can do, like, a jump, and you can, like, fire an ice thing to freeze your opponent so you can lock them down and then use your abilities on them a bunch, that everybody has, but it's like a fighting game combo. It's like you hit left, right, down, and then execute or whatever.
Right.
Like, you can do those moves that way, but the game itself never tells you. It's just in the manual, which is, like, not... I mean, that's the Killer Instinct was the exact same
way. Well, the game doesn't tell you anything anyway.
Right. Yeah, there's literally no tutorial or anything.
No, nothing like that at all. I mean, that stuff is in the book. You got to look at the book in order to find out how to really play the game.
Yeah.
Now, I would say this. When I was a little kid... I wasn't good at doing the special moves, and I still beat the pants off this game over
it's
and
not
over
that
every which
hard.
Way. Yeah, it's not a super difficult game, mostly because the AI enemy car opponents are not very smart.
Yeah.
And you basically set the tone as far as, like, how much combat there's gonna be.
Right.
If, for example, your health gets low. Well, turns out you're a car and you can just drive away.
Yeah.
So that's, like, kind of something you do.
Well, and especially I would say after, like, the second level, levels get way more precarious and wild to the extent that, like, literally, I mean, there were at least three, maybe four levels that we played that were, just as long as you can outlast the opponents, you're going to be fine. Like, it was... So there's... The first one is this level where you're in these, like, temples, basically, and there's lava everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And
the lava hurts you.
The lava hurts you. It hurts your opponents, too. And your opponents kind of don't care that much about the lava. They'll just drive right through it. So, like, you just find a good perch to hang out on and let them all die to the lava. And then, like, the same is a little bit true for... Like, the next level, you're on some skyscrapers, and if you fall off a skyscraper, you'll fall to your death, and you can kind of just push them to their death, too.
Yeah, what I love about this game, though, is that some of the levels are really small, and those levels are bad and dumb, and some of the levels are really big.
Right.
And I gotta be honest, with the New York level, there's so much more to that level that we never got to, because I couldn't even remember where to go to get to all these things that I remember there being. So the level design, I think, is just kind of the thing about it that I dig the most at this point, because it's just, like, they're very intricate to be on the PlayStation 1,
for
and they're just full of silly little secrets, just, like, hidden passageways. Like, areas that you can just like kind of blow up and like, oh, there's more level back here, or a hidden power up, or a hidden teleporter thing that will take you to another part of the level. It's really not necessarily good for the pace of like the combat, like, because like I said, you can just run away in this game, and you can especially run away if you have some weird hidey hole that you're using,
right.
So in that way, I don't know that it's good, but I do find it fun to play an older game like this, especially from this era, that has a lot of little fun ideas in it that we still don't really see. I mean, people are still trying to make games, like multiplayer games, that have destructible environments that change. Like, people are still trying to do that
in a way that
succeeding.
Feels good.
I mean,
this to me, this is like a quintessential game that you and all your buddies play when you go over to each other's house. And like, actually, this is the quintessential like game facts game, where you go online to figure out more about it, and then when the next time all your buddies are over to play, you're like, look, I figured out how to do this, and you show them the Eiffel Tower thing, and their minds are blown because like, you were the first one in your group to figure that out. This is a pre-internet, like, is social media popularized thing. This game like excels in that time.
I'll say this. So last week we talked about GoldenEye, which is a popular multiplayer game from the exact same era.
Right.
I would much sooner play this,
to be honest,
than GoldenEye.
Yeah.
GoldenEye was so much wonkier than I expected it to be. And at least, while Twisted Metal feels strange, the fact that they're cars actually, I think, kind of helps it simplify its own hook and not get too caught up on things like, well, how do they look and move at the same time? It's like, well, it's a car. You just drive it. I don't know.
Like, yeah, I was doing a lot of stopping and trying to rotate. Like, I was trying to do that, and it was the worst way to play, and you would very quickly realize, like, just stop doing that. Just drive around in circles until you catch back up to them. You'll be fine. Like, you'll learn the better way to play it, whereas GoldenEye, it's like, I don't know. I mean, nothing changes in the environment. Nothing meaningful, like, really happens. You make your own fun in it. But Twisted Metal at least gives you a bit more of your own fun to make.
Yeah. Also, GoldenEye has James Bond and Twisted Metal has serial killer clowns.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a funnier hook, than James Bond. James Bond,
especially for a 13-year-old.
A little dry, yeah.
It is a wonder that any of us got down with this James Bond
video
game.
How does James Bond survive culturally?
Yeah.
How does he endure? He's a guy in a suit. He's just a guy in a suit.
And especially for like a 10-year-old who doesn't understand sex.
Yeah.
It's like, why would I at all want to be like this kid? He's just a boring guy.
Who cares? He's literally just a guy in the suit. Deadpool. You know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Deadpool.
Wow.
That's a guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like burnt to a crisp wearing a weird ninja mask, you know? He says funny stuff. I can understand that character. But guy in a suit, that's all?
Yeah.
So bored. Give me a clown with a clown mask and his head is on fire. Did you notice that? Actually, Sweet Tooth's head is on fire.
Well, you never see, he's just in a car the whole time.
That's the thing is, you don't know the iconography of the Twisted Metal series, which is
so
maybe
pixelated.
Why we'll have to come back, okay?
Yeah, let's come back to I guess, Twisted Metal Black is the one.
We'll play Twisted Metal Black, and you'll be like, wow, this game's really serious. Yeah. And be like, we should have played Twisted Metal 4. Whichever one starts with Dragula, we should have played that one. Isn't it crazy that Dragula was like a giant hit, but it would just like be in like video games? This is the second game we've talked about that had Dragula in the soundtrack. Do you remember what the first game was, Matt?
The first game that had Dragula.
Well,
we talked about it with Quake. I don't know that it was in Quake. But
it's not in Quake.
Yeah, but
no.
I thought we talked about it in the Quake.
No. It's not in Quake.
I don't
it's
know what was it in.
Jet Grind Radio had
right.
Dragula
that's
in
really
it.
Weird.
And they cut it out of the PC version probably because they couldn't get Rob to sign off on it anymore. You know. But yeah, Twisted Metal is Dragula the game, basically. If you've ever watched the music video to Dragula,
definitely
you know
that.
What Twisted Metal is, basically.
Wow.
If anything, I wonder if Rob Zombie just played Twisted Metal and was like, this would make a good song, which wild if that's what happened.
Twisted Metal 4. Just
Twisted Metal 4 has Dragula in it. Okay, cool.
Yep.
Yeah, so you got to play Twisted Metal 4, at least the first level, just to hear Dragula.
Wait, was this... Rob Zombie has a song just called Twisted Metal.
Oh, what? Well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense, too, because...
Wait, is Dragula just called Twisted Metal and it's both things?
What?
Is all of Dracula a Twisted Metal joke?
Is Dracula what? Just Twisted Metal?
Rob Zombie is a contestant in Twisted Metal 4.
Yeah.
And his vehicle is called Dracula.
Well, that makes sense that it would be called Dracula.
Yeah. And then the song that plays is called Twisted Metal.
That's weird, but...
It's also called Dracula.
Hmm.
This is, like, freaking me out, man. I don't know.
I think it's going to be okay. I think Rob Zombie liked the game and was like, I'd like to be in the
game. It's a very Rob Zombie game.
And if you're Rob Zombie and you want to be in the game, then what's your car going to be? Well,
it's going to be called Dracula.
Yeah, makes sense.
Weird. Anyways, what a tangent.
Yeah.
So here's my thing.
Yeah, let's get you in here.
I thought this game was fine. It was chunky. It was I don't know how I feel about the PS1 graphics and N64. That era of graphics still is really, I mean, every game to me in that era ends up being they were trying something and like, you know, like maybe it'll be even cooler later when the graphics can support the idea that they had or whatever. And that's the way I feel about so many of these games, which I know is a discredit to all the good games, but like it is especially apparent when the games want you to move quickly.
Yeah.
So, like, I understand why especially the PS1 is, like, an RPG console. Because, like, when it's static and the graphics can, like, not have to just, like, be cruising through a street really fast, I feel like it works better. But this one, like, it hurts my brain. This and Tony Hawk 2, like, had that same quality to it where it's just, like, I get lost easier because, like, once you get
things
going fast enough,
distinct.
Things aren't distinct at all. So then you just can't tell like what you are running into or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. We played this on a 30-inch CRT. We played this kind of like on what you would have played it on.
Yeah, Matt's got this excellent setup for... No, it is a good setup.
It's good. It's too
serious.
Big. It's so big.
Well, yeah, the TV is way too big, but what CRT
And that's probably
is
why it's
big.
Hurting my eyeball. Like, I think it might literally be better on, like, a 20-inch TV where it's, like, not so...
Yeah,
where I need to sit,
so
like...
Large.
The thing about old consoles, though, is you don't get to sit far away from them because the controller cables are only so long. So it's just, like, you gotta get... I don't think CRTs were meant to be bigger than, like, 28 inches.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I want to say this about like your kind of rant there. I think that I like the PlayStation 1. Well, obviously PlayStation 1 is my favorite console and definitely my favorite console library. The way that 3D games look on the PlayStation 1, that kind of weird, they're barely making this work kind of thing. I enjoy that maybe a little better than like PlayStation 2 stuff. Really? I love the PlayStation 2, but at the same time, I think the closer we get to modern, the less charming it looks, and the more it's like, okay, this is just not quite as good as it could be,
right.
Basically. Whereas at the PlayStation 1 or Sega Saturn, those consoles had to just like run on the highest gear to get this figured out. They had to just really kind of crunch their own brains in order to make 3D work. And there's a charm in the fact that they're just barely holding it together.
I think it just comes down to my sweet spot is that GameCube PS2 era, and it feels like more your sweet spot is more that PS1 era. You find the charm in it, and I don't quite find the charm in it, but I do find the charm in like the GameCube Xbox graphics.
I mean, I think it just comes down to like, you know, what can you kind of vibe with from before, you know what I mean, like what did you play when you were a kid that then kind of gave you good instinct for how to read the screen,
right?
Like I could probably play any PS1 game and feel this sense of like, oh, it's just no. Nah. But and also there's a lot of PlayStation 1 games that don't give a hoot about the 3D and there's just a classic game with, you know, while ignoring that,
right?
Definitely like PlayStation 1 looking games more than N64 games, though. I mean, like, because I feel like N64 has more fidelity and they're trying for something, like, reaching for something higher and failing at that, which I think looks weirder.
Hmm.
It's all failure, by the way. I'm not saying one is failing and the other is succeeding. They're all trying to do something they don't have the tech to do yet.
Yeah.
But, like, think about, so there's, like, Twisted Metal today. We talked about GoldenEye last week. Think about how freaking weird the faces on the characters looked in GoldenEye.
For sure. I think part of it for me is, this is a Twisted Metal specific thing. It's kind of specific to Tony Hawk too as well, that's why I'm thinking about it so much, is there's a certain level of, I feel like PlayStation games are really trying to still do a lot of pixel graphics on their textures. And I feel like Nintendo 64 sort of abandons it for just like, this texture is just kind of a green blob. And that works on my eyes better, even if it is a worse environment. Like if you're not there to appreciate the pixelated graphics, like nature of the thing, to me, it looks messy on the PS1 and on the N64. At least it's clean, even if it's personality-less.
I get what you're
saying. It's like Solar Ash, where it's like Solar Ash has nothing to it. And that did end up being annoying, but like at that era, I see why that is a choice that gets made.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's N64 definitely has more of a cleaner and like kind of more legible look to it on average,
but less interesting across.
Yeah,
the board.
Like I would take messy and interesting over you know, clean and simple,
right,
basically.
Right.
Simple and clean, I should say. I mean,
we got there.
I can't believe I
you
can't
almost
believe
missed
almost,
it. Wow, you almost walked right past.
I want to personally apologize to every listener for me actually missing the simple and clean thing and having to circle back. I've really let you down. I've let myself down. My parents. I want to apologize to my parents. Mm-hmm. That was a huge miss on my part.
We
and,
forgive you.
I'm very sorry.
You corrected it. You righted the wrong. You know, it matters that you made amends, and that's
do
what's
we
important.
Need this. Genre, vehicular car
Man,
combat.
That's the question, isn't
it? Do we actually need it?
Here's what we need. We need something like it. We don't need car combat, I don't think, but we need raucous, wild multiplayer, clunky. Mm-hmm. Like, before we started recording, I kind of said, I feel like maybe Rocket League has like sort of picked up the torch.
Got vehicles.
It's got vehicles. But I'm going to turn that around, actually. I think things like Gang Beasts have picked up where we left car combat games, which
just
is kind of like,
fun combat multiplayer games.
Just fun. It's a little janky. You got it. You have to just do what the controls give you. You don't get to like perfect this thing, but we've given you a bunch of really wacky tools and just, you know, go just have fun on the couch. That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, you'd think with Rocket League, it wouldn't. I mean, I know there actually was a game that came out this year. That was supposed to sort of be, well, hey, what if Rocket League was
a vehicular car combat
game? I'm pretty sure aesthetically it looked like that. I don't remember what it was called, and I don't even know if it was good. Neither do I care. I feel like the genre had its day.
Yeah.
And until someone comes up with a new hook for it, it basically just belongs in the past to me. I think the whole idea is kind of goofy. I will say, if you're going to do one, Give me a battle royale vehicular car combat game where I'm driving around an entire city.
We've talked about this
before. Have we?
We've had this idea, but I'm having like a deja vu that we've talked about. We need I think it's like after we played Forza, because there's kind of a weird battle royale mode in that.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Give me a massive level.
Yeah.
That is then a
huge city
battle royale car combat.
Give me Paris, all of it. Give me all of
literally
it.
Literally all of it.
Give me, actually, you know what? Do a new Twisted Metal game, and it's just called Twisted Metal Paris, and it's one level. It's one level. Like PlayerUnknown's Battleground style.
Yeah.
It's one level. All these cars parachute in, okay, and then you're just driving around the countryside, just like shooting at each other and stuff. Like, that's a cool game.
Yeah.
Like, the battle. It is. Like, I know that people are kind of sick of battle royale stuff being taped on to something that already exists, but listener, I'm right about this one.
Yeah,
this is actually a good one.
Yep.
And yeah, just make one big, huge level, put a bunch of stupid cars on it, and you can customize your car, whatever. What you customize your car, you customize your loadout. There, it's like honestly, there's vehicular car combat as a genre is sitting in between too many other things.
Right.
I think is its problem.
Right.
I'd rather make it feel like a mech game.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Where it's, I got my car and it's got all these aspects of it that's customized to me. I can customize its weight, its handling, its speed, all that stuff. I can put weird, dumb doodads on it. Okay.
Yep.
I can put, you know, the sweet tooth head thing on it. You know what I mean? It can be an ice cream truck. It can be a submarine with wheels. It can be anything, you know?
Like a Lego Gundam, like a Gundam where all the parts can get swapped around, mm-hmm. and you just go as fast or slow as you want, yep. for your style.
Yeah.
Man, what a good game we've just come up with.
I think that, you know, aesthetically, maybe we don't need to think about the Beavis and Butthead aspect of Twisted Metal. Maybe leave that in the past. Maybe we can just think about Mad Max. Uh-huh. Maybe it can just feel like Mad Max, man. Like goofy Mad Max.
Even Mad Max. I feel like as weird as this is, it's like you may end up just having to lean into the Fortnite of it all. I mean,
oh,
just
sure.
the like yeah. cartoonify. It doesn't have to be dark Twisted Metal stuff, but I think the goofier you allow.
I don't know. I want them to look like real cars. Yeah. I want them to have dirt.
I mean, I want them to be Gundams, so I think you should just lean want into just
Gundam.
Just
you just
want
to do a Gundam
game.
Battle Royale. Yeah. Well, now we're just talking about something completely different. You don't even like, what do you, you like Gundam?
No, but I like the idea of a Gundam.
Matt doesn't like Gundam, but wants a Gundam.
Could be a Transformers game.
Yeah, there you go.
How about a Transformers game where you do car combat, but then you can switch to your Transformer as well?
Only if they look exactly like they looked like in the cartoon.
90s, in the 80s.
Like, in the 80s cartoon. I want them to look exactly like that. And I want the world to just look like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. So it's PUBG.
Yeah.
And all the, but they just look like, and it really sticks out. So you like can't hide anywhere. Like you look in the distance in like the woods or whatever, and you just see like, you know, Soundwave out there.
I'm just looking at lists of car combat games, and it is wild how many times it's been tried, but just to absolutely know. Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts.
Oh, that is sort of a car combat
sort
game.
Of.
Yeah.
Do you remember Cell Damage? Cell Damage actually exists within the time
cell
frame
damage
of car,
is,
car combat.
Obviously existing. Just... like, I mean, they just played Twisted Metal and did that. That's the problem. That
Looney
was the problem
Tunes,
with the genre.
Twisted. Yeah, it feels like Twisted Metal did sort of take over the genre of, like, the whole thing has to be sort of South Park-y.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why, like, I don't know, is Vigilante 8 like that? Doesn't
yeah,
really
it
seem
is.
Like it.
It is. It is. It? Yeah, yeah. It definitely has a sense of humor about it and is very goofy. It might actually be funnier than Twisted Metal. I can't really remember.
Maybe
I know
it's hard to do humor about cars blowing up that isn't just metal music fart jokes. Like,
I think
I don't
the
know.
Humor is necessary because it's otherwise it's kind of like stupid. Because the problem is that it is. It, I mean, it's a stupid
it's
thing. I mean, most video games are stupid for some reason. Like, you can have a game where people shoot at each other all day.
Uh-huh.
It just do murder,
right?
You know,
completely serious.
But and it doesn't seem stupid, even though that actually is pretty stupid,
right?
But then, yeah, suddenly if they're cars, I don't know. I think it just seems. It's stranger. But maybe it would be funny if it was completely serious and they're just like regular ass cars.
I've got a hook for you because I'm looking at this on this list for some reason. I don't think this is really a vehicular car combat game, but maybe it is. There's the Starsky and Hutch video game.
Okay.
Let's go full 70s like.
Yeah.
That vibe.
Yeah.
Miami Vice, Starsky and Hutch.
Uh-huh.
Everything is just in that vibe, and it's that kind of car combat
and
game.
Let's get real cars and
exactly.
car sponsorships.
Yes.
Like, I wanted to drive a Ferrari,
yeah.
but then, like, my guy, who's just like a guy, just has, like, a gun, and he, like, leans out the window and just starts shooting at the other car.
Yeah.
That's all, you know. You throw, I don't know, diapers. That's what I got.
I you know what? I'm on board. Is it time? Do we need to rank this puppy?
Yeah. I mean, that's what we do on the show, man.
Oh, is it? Okay. We do it every episode?
You're sounding like we're not going to do it this week. We're just going to talk about this one and then just let it go. But, I mean, we've ranked all types of stuff on this list. I think we can do Twisted Metal, too.
Yeah.
Pretty easily.
I guess if you want to, if that's what you want.
Yeah, that is what I want. Let's do our classic. Of course, I'm the positive one. You're the negative one.
I'm the meanie pants.
What number is Sonic the Hedgehog?
Sonic the Hedgehog is number 24.
24. Okay. Can you guess what number I'm about to say?
Do you want it to be worse than Sonic the Hedgehog?
It's not better than Sonic the Hedgehog.
All right. All right. That's fair.
So that's my number.
It can't be worse than Killer Instinct.
It can't be worse than Killer. I thought you were going to say War of the Monsters because War of the Monsters.
That is a hilarious comparison point because it's a specifically sort of linked to the studio. Let's start there.
We're
going to start at War of the Monsters.
So will you read that range from Sonic the Hedgehog
to
War of the Monsters?
Sonic the Hedgehog, number 24. It's going to be worse than that, and it might be worse than Kingdom Hearts, Mass Effect, Journey to Silius, Solar Ash, Halo 2, Star Wars Shadows of the Empire, Killer Instinct, GoldenEye, and War of the Monsters.
Yeah.
So War of the Monsters, of course, our fourth episode. We did not like that game.
Yeah.
We were maybe at that time not great at talking about why we didn't like that game, according to our friend EJ.
Yeah.
He just blasted us with that critique.
On the show. On and the then show. That critique has really lived long in our brains.
Yeah.
It gets brought up.
I carry
quite
it with
a bit.
Me everywhere.
EJ, do you ever think maybe you could have told us that, you know, when we weren't on the show? Do you ever think that maybe, EJ? Hmm? Maybe you want to send that one in a message next time?
So War of the Monsters is, funny enough, equally hard to, like, turn and move around.
Yeah.
With none of the thrill of then getting to go fast in a car.
Yeah. There's no on with War of the Monsters. Literally designed by the same guy, David Jaffe.
No, he specifically wasn't. This was his company right after he left.
He pointed at it and said, make that game.
Probably come up with War of the Monsters, maybe.
And it has, it's, you know, it's kind of dumb in a similar way that Twisted Metal 2 is dumb. It doesn't do anything as bad as that camera trick, though, that we've talked about, where you're playing one person is a monster, the other person is a monster, and then you get close to each other,
and
the camera
suddenly
angle changes.
It's full screen.
It doesn't do that, and for that reason alone, I think Twisted Metal 2 is better.
Yeah.
I do think Kaiju is like a more interesting.
It's more interesting. I think War of the Monsters is significantly more interesting than Twisted Metal, but it doesn't execute that well enough. And there's no like abilities, there's no real power-ups, there's like items you can pick up on the ground, but they're basically just all cudgels of different variety. Basically,
there's more destructible environment in War of the Monsters, but the environments don't change in a meaningful way.
They just flatten out. It's like our worst example of that in Twisted Metal is the only thing a War of the Monsters level ever does is just get flatter and worse.
Twisted Metal 2 dunking all over War of the Monsters, going on to GoldenEye. So both these games have a legacy. GoldenEye's legacy is big time.
Yeah.
Twisted Metal 2's legacy is, I would say, teeny tiny.
But let's talk about, I feel like, why Twisted Metal's legacy is smaller, but GoldenEye's legacy is isolated to one game that somehow just, like, got to have its name said for a long time.
Sure.
Twisted Metal, they were pumping out a new Twisted Metal game every single year.
Yeah.
So it's like,
they did four of them on the PS1.
Yeah, within their own community, they've split the vote on like which one is everybody's favorite Twisted Metal. And it's like, I can't, the legacy here is like, again, from my perspective, I've heard plenty about Twisted Metal. It's just a game I'd never played myself because I didn't have a PS1, but it seemed like a game a lot of people like. And yeah, GoldenEye is obviously more, like, famous, but I feel like...
And more important.
The crux of that GoldenEye episode, though, is it's not actually that great. Like, nothing about it is actually good. It just was, like, for its moment, important.
Well, let's be real. We were being real. We were having a real sassy day.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Like, but it is. I mean, I don't know. It's the pace of GoldenEye is just kind of abysmal.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. It definitely has a deeper multiplayer than Twisted Metal does.
I almost hesitate even there.
There's more stuff going on. You can play with four players. There's different game modes and stuff. That's what I mean by deeper.
I still push back on the different game modes really being that important to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just becomes about what weapon selection you do. And
then
within that, like, there's a little bit of variety, maybe. But I would say the idea that I can play as a different character in Twisted Metal and have my, like, kind of
vibe and
loadout be quite different
right.
is a lot more, oh, now let's swap. Now you're going to be Sweet Tooth. I'm going to be Grasshopper. Like, let's do, you know, like, I, that to me is way more interesting.
Yeah, Twisted Metal 2, actually better than GoldenEye. Yeah, you heard it here first, folks. All right, what's next?
Killer Instinct.
Yeah.
So, two games.
Killer Instinct, kind of the Twisted Metal of fighting games, to be honest. Like, it sort of has a Twisted Metal.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess
it doesn't have the humor.
Honestly, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
would
Mortal
be the
Kombat
Twisted Metal
tries to have the humor
games.
More than
that's
Killer
really
Instinct does.
That's actually what is the Twisted Metal fighting game. So in that way, I feel like Killer Instinct loses because it's the off-brand.
Yeah,
it's the Vigilante 8 of fighting games. That's kind of interesting, though.
Wow. Well, what's funny too about Vigilante 8 is like Vigilante 8 was also on N64, so technically, like, I bet more people have played Vigilante 8.
Just because
it was on more, like, it was on PS1 and N64.
Wow.
Like, I've played Vigilante 8 and I never played Twisted Metal.
But you didn't
play
have
it a lot.
You didn't have a PlayStation.
I didn't have a PlayStation.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying is, like, it doubled the number of people it could have reached. I don't know.
Twisted Metal is certainly more popular. If you agree with Matt, that Vigilante 8 is more popular than that more people played it. Not necessarily more popular, but more people played it. That's wild. I feel like I don't really know what to say at this point, because Killer Instinct felt weird to play. Twisted Metal felt weird to play. One's a fighting game that actually does have a lasting appeal with some portion of the population.
There are fighting game folks that
Twisted Metal is just Twisted Metal.
Much. I mean, can we really look at the, like, we can look at other old fighting games and see how they've lived on and maintained their popularity.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see Killer Instinct at, like, any of the fighting game tournaments, really. I mean, maybe every once in a while.
A lot of the ones that Matt goes to, he doesn't see a lot of the Killer Instinct there.
I can see the bills of different tournaments that happen, and Killer Instinct ain't on that list.
I can't speak to it. I don't know.
Oh my God.
I just don't know.
Yeah, I'm the guy who just says stuff.
I don't know. I'll tell you this. I ain't never heard of no vehicular car combat tournament game. Like,
yeah, this
thing.
I mean, that's where this game dies, is like, it doesn't get competitive enough to have like a lasting appeal in that way.
Yeah,
I guess that's what they tried maybe to do in that reboot, the PS3 reboot, and it's just like, well, that's not why any of us played it.
Well, they tried to make it a very online game. But maybe someday we'll talk about the 2013 reboot, just because it is kind of, it's a failure, but it's very emblematic of its time,
right?
In a way that's really funny.
Yeah.
While having this art style that probably should have gone away,
shouldn't have been a long time ago. It's, you need to reboot car combat without this license. Is just what it really ends.
Yeah,
up being.
Get it away from the intellectual property.
Is this better than Killer Instinct? Then I don't know.
I feel like. I don't. Well, what's next after Killer Instinct?
Next up is Star Wars: Shadows of the Empire.
See, I'm
that's a lot more important.
I'm kind of standing for that game on this show. So like, I know if we let it go above Killer Instinct, that's fine. But I'm gonna push back pretty hardcore on it being better than Shadows of the Empire.
Yeah, and I wouldn't push for it to go above Shadows of the Empire either, because it's just like.
So it sounds like this is kind of.
This is around Killer Instinct. We got it. So we gotta like parse out what Killer Instinct makes me way more mad.
Yeah,
than Twisted Metal
ever did.
Even when I was frustrated
with
Twisted Metal.
But you've also spent a lot more time with Killer Instinct than you've spent with Twisted Metal.
Yeah.
So like,
and even then, it still frustrates me.
Yeah.
Like, even just to pick up and start playing, it's immediately frustrating.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, so there's so many different axes we could come at this with. I think the characters of Killer Instinct are just a big turnoff.
There's no style. There's no vibe.
I like the characters of Twisted Metal more because they have more vibe, but that vibe and style is dumb.
Sure,
and
but kinda dumb bad. Is good, and also at least it has a theme and a singular focus. Killer Instinct is completely all over the map.
It's actually doing something specific.
Yeah.
It's funny because I actually do feel like we're ranking this exactly where it needs to go on either side of Killer Instinct. I think I just don't really care about whether it is above or below, though. I just feel like we're so close to its actual level of quality. It is like kind of a Killer Instinct type game of where it's just like, it's this weird kind of offshoot.
Right.
Some people like it. Mostly people just kind of remember it. They're not necessarily like playing it all the time.
Yeah.
And although I don't know, I did enjoy picking Twisted Metal 2 back up again, and I did not really like playing Killer Instinct at all.
I'm kind of leaning into is just the idea of like, I really never necessarily enjoy, even if I can recognize that like more people probably like Killer Instinct. If it's you and me, we both bounced hard off of Killer Instinct, and we sat here yesterday and we had a decently good time playing Twisted Metal 2.
Yeah.
I was learning it, like we were just trying to figure it out and kind of like judge it on some weird parameters, but like I was having a good time and I would keep playing it.
Yeah.
Whereas I want to get rid of my copy of Killer Instinct as soon as possible.
Wow. You want to get rid of it.
I do. I've come to the point where I'm starting to realize, like, I'm having this thing recently where I'm regretting getting rid of a bunch of games when I lived in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, actually, I don't need to keep like every game we talk about on the show. I don't need to physically own every single game we talk about.
You can give it to me. I would take Killer Instinct.
You can take my Killer Instinct. Are you going to play it?
No.
You just want to have it?
I just want to have it.
In your small New York apartment?
I just want to hoard it.
I'm just trying to
be a little hoarder in my little New York apartment.
Regardless,
just hoard it all.
I am trying to come around to like, actually, what I think I need my collection, my in quotes collection to become is like, the games I actually mean to care about, and I want you to be able to look at my video game shelf and there's not much on there, but everything that's on there says exactly what kind of gamer this guy is.
Okay. Then I think it's got to be Twisted Metal 2 above Killer Instinct. I will say I'm holding the Twisted Metal 2 jewel case.
Yeah.
This is from my childhood.
Yep.
It's busted. It's been stepped on.
Yeah.
It's all broken.
Well,
and
all
stuff.
Jewel cases are broken at
sure,
this
point. Sure, sure. That makes sense. But it doesn't even clasp like close properly. Here, let me see if I can just kind of I can't even open it. There we go. I opened it. So when you open it, the top of the case just plops right the heck off. Right the heck off. But let me tell you something. I had a lot of fun with this game when I was a kid. I played it a lot with my cousin. And I love that I have it now.
Yeah.
It's one of my prized possessions. I'm going to keep it. And I don't even really care about the game that much. I just like I just like having it. And it was a fun relic of its time. This one, though, this episode, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, I want to check out Twisted Metal 2.
You're fine.
I don't think you should.
You're probably fine.
you don't need to. We didn't talk about the Antarctica level at all. That's good.
Oh, yeah, sure.
To say that
level it is cool. It's frustrating in a... mentality of like, I better get good at this game right away. But if you play it in the like, I'm just gonna play this game over and over again, then you'll learn like the parts that break. And yeah, the Antarctica level has ice platforms that just like sink into the ground kind of like randomly.
It kills you.
And just kills you, and that seems mean, but like, you'll figure it out. I don't know, shut up.
I like levels with gimmicks.
Yeah,
actually I really do like multiplayer levels that have gimmicks. And so there's a handful of levels. There's only like what, 6 levels in the whole game? It's not that many levels.
Yeah, it's not very many levels.
And just some of them have gimmicks, and I like levels with gimmicks.
So the key to the game we've invented today, our open world car combat game, our PUBG with cars. The other key then is lots of secrets, like an Elden Ring level of just weird secrets, just things that people will be discovering. And like if it's one of those like
when you say Elden Ring with secrets, you mean like. That in this car combat game, I need to find like a weird
quests
woman
that
like a building.
Yeah, exactly.
And she just starts talking at me in a weird wispy
her.
Voice.
Yeah.
And then, you
just have to, your car has to hug this woman.
Yeah, let's hug, she says. And then she hugs the car. Like Sweet Tooth's ice cream truck pulls into a woman's bedroom.
She hugs the fender.
And then she goes, let me hug you a while. And then she's hugging the fender.
And that, across the map, unlocks a door. And you just have to find out that a new door has unlocked.
Did you just spoil that? Is that something from
Elden Ring? I don't know. I'm just saying that's the kind of stuff.
Are you doing spoilers right
now? I'm not
now?
Spoiling anything. I'm just saying that's the kind of game we're talking about.
It's
one where it's just like really arbitrary. And like if it's a games of service thing, like the developers are adding in new secrets.
Oh,
like,
I love pitching new games of service games. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We need more of those in our lives.
We don't have enough of them. All the ones that we have are great, and we just need more. Game industry, you got to start listening to our podcast.
Your license plate is an NFT.
We'll tell
great.
You
it's
what you want to hear, okay? More games of service, more NFTs. Hey, this show is an NFT.
Man, I need a gambit as good as NFTs to just talk a producer into it. It's just how do I turn a roller derby video game idea into finance bro speak so that I can get them to just make it for us?
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Making a game though, Matt, that's a lot of work and effort.
Not according to the places I read on the internet.
Thank y'all for listening to Old Gamer's Almanac, produced by Hunter Donaldson and Matt Martins. Music by Knight Corey.